want to come back to the text that we read earlier in our early part of the worship service in 1 Corinthians 10 and just focus on verses 14 to 22, where Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." We had a good lesson in the message of what idolatry is. It's really anything that takes the place of Christ in his glory. And I fear that some have even made an idol of what we hold here in our hands. Some think that if I can just drink this cup, and if I can just eat this bread, I'll be all right. But there's no life in the bread. There's no life in this cup. It's who the bread represents, who the cup represents. And therefore, we need this constant instruction, because left to ourselves, we'd make an idol of anything that God has written in his word. And just like the golden calf, worship it instead of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. And so that's why he says in verse 15, "I speak as to wise men." One's made wise by the Spirit of God. So in other words, it doesn't take a lot of explaining to those that have been taught of Christ. My dad had that expression, "Son, one word to the wise is sufficient." What that meant is, I'm not going to tell you a second time. And here, when he says, "I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say," I already see some heads nodding. As soon as I mentioned there's no life in this bread, there's no life in this cup, I didn't see anybody appalled. Oh, no. But you understood that the life is in who it represents, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why in verse 16, some ask, well, what do you call this? What is this? Here, Paul says, it's the cup of blessing which we bless. Why is this called a cup of blessing? It's because of who it represents. It represents his shed blood, from whom all blessings flow. Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So when we're partaking of this cup, we're reminded of the blessing of God upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of that people for whom he shed his blood. And he said, "Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" A lot of people say, "We having communion today?" Well, what does that mean? Here it says it's the communion of the blood of Christ. That puts a whole other perspective on it. Yes, we have communion with one another because he's made us to be one body, but this has to do with his blood and his person. And when it says the communion of his blood, it doesn't mean that we contribute anything to it. The word communion, communion, by his shed blood, he has made us one with himself. And apart from that, there is no oneness. So it's the reconciliation. It's the propitiation that this cup represents in the person of his son. And then he says, "The bread which we break," this bread's been broken, "is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" The Lord's given us two ordinances. These aren't sacraments. These are ordinances, the bread and the cup, to remind us of the salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. First, in the body. He came in the flesh, but unleavened, without sin, and then laid down his life that God might be just to justify. And there's where it says in verse 17, "For we being many are one bread." See, all of this was broken off of one bread, but it represents the many for whom Christ's body was broken in suffering. "We being many are one bread and one body, and we are all partakers of that one bread." We could just as easily take the bread back there and pass it around, everybody break off a piece. Certainly, when the Lord instituted the Lord's table. That's the way it was. But it's still one bread. This was made and was put in the oven and roasted, prepared. So Christ, a body was made for him. He suffered and died, suffered under the wrath of God. And now we partake of what that bread represents in his body. But again, the warning is against idolatry. Here it says, "Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar?" It's talking about under that Old Testament system that when the offerings were made, they partook. That was the peace offering of the sacrifices. So he says, "What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils." That tells us right there that what we're about is special. This is a family meal that pertains to those who are part of the family of God by his shed blood. I hear some say, "Well, I can just as easy go down the road to another congregation, and when they're having the Lord's table or communion or Eucharist or whatever, I can partake." Well, Paul says, beware. Because what they partake and what they do, if it's not representing the true Christ, then it's a sacrifice to what? Devils. People look at that and think, that's pretty severe. Yep. God's pretty severe when it comes to what honors and glorifies his son, just as we saw in the earlier message. So that's why he says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord. I like that explanation. This is the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You can't be partakers of the Lord's table. That's what I always remind people when they ask me, well, can I partake here in communion? Well, it depends. It's the Lord's table. If you're his, you're come and welcome. But if it's just a matter of going through a ceremony and going through the ritual and thinking somehow you're going to be better off for it, nope. It says here, you can't be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils and consider them the same thing. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? So I want us to see how special this is for us to hold this bread in our hand and have this cup in our hand, because it's a picture of the complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of his people. And therefore, it's the cup of blessing. We're blessed in him. And the bread broken reminds us that his body was broken, that we might all be partakers of his one body. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder, even the visual aid that we have here of the bread and the wine, the bread representing our Lord's perfect body without sin, and yet laying down his life and shedding his blood unto death, that you might be a just God and Savior. Oh, that you would fill our hearts with thoughts of him, even now as we partake, and from our hearts, instructed by your grace, give all the glory to you through your Son, in whose name I pray. Amen.